For the rest of the summer, I plan to preach from Jesus' parables, these stories that Jesus gave us that give us really some of the best preaching material in all of the Bible, because, well, that's what parables are. They're stories that preach. They're stories that reveal God's truth. Jesus' parables, though, you should understand, are not true stories. They are, however, truthful stories. That is, they're stories that are filled with truth. They're stories that communicate truth in the way that Jesus told them and for just the purposes that he had in mind. But Jesus made up the characters and the setting and the plot of each of his stories. And the parables are, in that sense, fiction. But Jesus told these stories to reveal God's truth. And so that's how we read them. And that's how we'll be thinking about them over the next several weeks. As we listen to the parables, we get a picture of truth. And that's kind of the point of a story, to give you, in your own mind, you start to picture the people and the stories and the things they do and the things they say. And that picture in your mind begins to convey or be an image of the truth that Jesus is trying to present to us through his story. And these stories speak into our hearts as much as they speak into our heads, which is another reason that Jesus told stories, because they can cut through the ideas that we may have, and they speak more into our souls. So we're going to begin today with a parable about parables, a story about stories. It's a teaching about teaching, and you'll see what I mean as we go along. So let me start with just the first opening verses here. We're in Matthew chapter 13, and first Matthew sets the stage as he's writing the story. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. And we haven't even started the parable yet, but you can get this picture in your mind, right? Jesus leaves the house that Matthew refers to as very likely Peter's house, one of Jesus' disciples, and that's where they would often stay in Capernaum, which was sort of a home base for Jesus when he was in the Galilee region, in the northern part of Israel. And Peter, of course, was a fisherman, as were a few of the other disciples, and so Peter had a boat, and so they left his house, and Jesus had the thought, we'll go down by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, but the crowd was so large that in order to speak to all of them, Peter may have suggested, we don't know, but hey, Jesus, I've got a boat, why don't you go out on the water a little bit? And so Peter, I assume, rowed his boat. It's probably a good-sized boat, but he put it out from shore a little bit. And Jesus, it says he sat down, which was the custom at that time for rabbis, for other teachers. They would sit down to teach. I'm not going to do that because I've got nice pants on. But you can picture it in your mind. Jesus sat down, probably on the stern of the boat. The stern's the back, right, Steve? Yeah, so the boat's facing this way. Jesus sits on the stern, and he begins to teach. And the crowd was so large, they made sort of a, whatever the shape of the shoreline was, but then up the bank, up away from the water. And the people also probably sat down to listen to Jesus. And the crowds were large because they knew that Jesus spoke the truth, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. So you get that picture in your mind, and then we come to the parable, picking up again in verse 3. Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times it was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Jesus is telling a parable here about what he was doing right in that moment. Right? Jesus is proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God. He's telling the people about the good news. And this story is also about that. In that moment, Jesus was the farmer. As he sits in the back of the boat, he's saying to them, it's as though I'm a farmer and I'm scattering seed. I'm sending out the message and the seed falls on all of you, my listeners. Right? This is what Jesus is saying in his parable. And then Jesus finishes the story and he says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, of course, everyone in the crowd could hear Jesus. That's why he got into the boat. And maybe the water helped reflect his voice a bit. And the crowds all gathered around. But Jesus went to these great lengths to make sure that they could all hear with their ears what he was saying. And so the sound of his voice goes into their ears and their brains translate that into words and ideas. And they begin to get a picture in their mind of the story that Jesus is telling. But it's the soul, the heart, that is able or not able to recognize the truth of what Jesus was saying. Which is what he means by whoever has ears, let them hear. Let them understand what he's saying. Verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? So this must have been sometime later. Maybe they all got into the boat and put out a little farther into the lake. And now they're alone and the disciples are kind of debriefing Jesus, or the other way around, I guess. And they ask Jesus the question that we might be asking, which is, Jesus, why don't you just speak plainly? Why do you tell all these stories, Jesus? Doesn't that confuse people? And we might ask this same question. Now, of course, there were other times when Jesus did speak very plainly. And the truth is, when Jesus did speak very plainly, still, people didn't understand him or accept his message. And so, whether he told a story or spoke plainly, there were always some who rejected what Jesus said. But Jesus told parables for very specific purposes. And so, as we read on, we'll begin to understand part of what his motivation was in telling parables. So we pick up now verse 11. Jesus replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Now, we need to be careful that we understand what Jesus is saying here, because it's critical to our understanding of the good news. It's critical to our understanding of how we tell people about Jesus. So Jesus is not saying that he told parables because they were some sort of secret code. I mean, it kind of sounds like he's saying that in a sense. And to some degree, there is a little bit of truth in that. But Jesus did not teach in a way to hide the truth. Jesus taught in a way to reveal the truth. In fact, anytime you see the word mystery in the New Testament, it's not a mystery that is concealed to be hidden. It's a mystery that is now revealed for the world to understand. That's why it's good news. It's news that's being presented. It's a message that goes out into the world. It's the farmer scattering seed for everyone to hear and receive. And so Jesus isn't saying that the parables are some code that only certain people can figure out. But what he is saying, as he scatters his seed widely, as he invites all people to listen and understand and follow, what he's saying is that he understood, and we need to understand too, that some people will hear what Jesus says and not truly understand it. Some people will read God's word and then not obey it. Some people will encounter Jesus and the good news, and then they'll just walk away unchanged. And Jesus understood that reality. And we need to understand it as well. You see, parables help to reveal the condition of people's hearts. That's what this story is about. Parables help us understand what's happening inside someone's soul. That's just the point of this story. And so now we come to Jesus' actual interpretation of his own parable. We don't get this often. Most of his parables he told, and it's left to us to interpret them. But here Jesus actually gives the interpretation. So verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. And again, he's talking just to his disciples. Let me tell you what it means, guys. Listen up. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So now we understand the parable, right? It's pretty simple. Maybe you even understood it the first time I read it. But this parable speaks to some larger truths that we need to understand as we think about how we do ministry and how we read the Bible and how we tell other people about Jesus. And ultimately, that's how we bring this parable into our lives and the life of the church today as we think about how we go out and sow the seed of Jesus' message. So that's where we want to turn our attention now. Jesus has entrusted his message, the good news of Jesus, to us, into our hands. We now are the ones who not only read the Bible, but now can teach God's word to other people. And the seed is still the message of Jesus. And the crowds around us today still want to hear the good news. At least some of them do. And now we are the farmer going out to scatter that seed. So here's what we need to take hold of today. Jesus calls us to share his message with everyone. And I want to break that sentence down just a little bit. Of course, we know that's the message, or that is the mission of the church, right? We share the love and message of Jesus with people in need. That's what we do as a church. That's why we exist. It's why the church has always existed. To share Jesus' love, to tell his story with people in need. And the people in need, by the way, is everyone that we will ever meet. That is the mission of the church. And this parable helps us to get our minds around that calling. So we want to fill in just a few details to help us understand this better. The first truth that we can't miss is this. Our message is Jesus' message. And the church down through the ages, and certainly today, sometimes gets confused on this point. Our message is Jesus' message. The seed that Jesus scattered to the crowds around the Sea of Galilee, or when he traveled down to Jerusalem, or even when he went into the non-Jewish populations and preached and healed people there. The seed that he scattered, the message that he proclaimed, is the same message that we share today. That is God's truth as revealed in God's Word. And of course, we also tell the story of Jesus' own life and his death and his resurrection. This is our message. That is the story that we tell. And so our message is not a political agenda. Our message is not a social campaign. Our message is not my idea for how to live a good life. If you want to know that, I'll be happy to tell it to you, but not on a Sunday morning. Because when I stand up to preach, I preach God's Word, not my own. Our message is not some self-help book on how to be happy. Even, by the way, if it was written by another pastor. Our message is not an interpretation of Scripture that cleverly twists God's Word into an agenda of the world. Again, even if it's done by another pastor. We might be tempted to preach our own ideas. I might be tempted that way. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, our message has to be the message of Jesus Christ. Even when his message is hard for us, which it often is. Even when it challenges us, and even when it challenges the people who listen to us, who live around us. It's sometimes hard to proclaim the truth of God because sometimes that truth cuts people deeply. And it calls them to change. It calls us to change. And that can be hard, but we don't shy away from proclaiming the message of Jesus. So in Jesus' parable, the farmer scattered the seed everywhere he went. Right? He didn't toss good seed in one place and then bad seed over here because, well, it's not going to take root there anyway. The farmer didn't refuse to sow some seed over here because that would be a waste and save more seed for the good places. No, that's not what the farmer does. Jesus taught openly. Jesus taught for everyone to hear, even those who he already knew had made up their minds they didn't want to hear what he had to say. Jesus didn't change or water down or edit his message to please his listeners or to make himself look good, to spare himself from the suffering that he knew was the ultimate fulfillment of his mission. Now, Jesus proclaimed his message in the same way to everyone he came in contact with. And so we follow Jesus' example in that. We share the same message with everyone. And again, this is a challenge for the church often. I've said this before, this is one of the key differences between a church, a true, faithful church of Jesus Christ, and a cult, right? A cult hides what it really believes from most people. A cult says one thing in public, but something very different within its own walls. Or maybe you've got to really get inside before you hear the real truth. We don't operate that way. We tell the same truth to everyone. We are public with our message. We proclaim the good news of Jesus to anyone who wants to hear it. And we have the same truth inside the church as we do outside the church. Because the message of Jesus is a public message that is meant for everyone. Now, I mentioned as the service began a little bit about what happened last week in Omaha. And I'm not going to talk about this for long, but I think it fits in here in an important way. The Covenant Church, the gathering of delegates in Omaha last week, made some important and difficult decisions. The delegates ended up standing up for the truth of God's Word as the Covenant Church has always understood it. And standing up against what I believe is a worldly political agenda that seeks to enshrine within the church this understanding of same-sex marriage that runs counter to the clear teaching of Scripture. So it was a hard few days, and not everyone there was in agreement, and some for their own maybe legitimate reasons. But I believe the Covenant Church did the right thing, but we experienced there what has always been true, and that is that it is hard to swim against the currents of culture. It's hard to go the opposite way that everyone else is going. And so we follow the clear teaching of Scripture. We don't hide what God's Word says. We don't twist God's Word to fit the cultural mood or the political pressure that may come against the church, even when it's hard. I've preached in this church on the biblical view of marriage, that the only appropriate context for sexual relations is within a marriage between one man and one woman. That is the clear teaching of Scripture. And we don't hide that teaching. We teach it without compromise, without deception. We tell that same truth to everyone who wants to know what we believe, because that is what Scripture tells us we should believe. We also don't hide what we believe to avoid offending other people. And I'm sorry that some people are offended by the teaching of Scripture. I'm sorry that some people are offended by the beliefs and actions of the church. We don't hide what we believe to avoid criticism. We teach from every corner of God's Word. We proclaim the whole message of the truth of Scripture. And hopefully we do it in a way that is kind and loving and generous and gracious, knowing that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. But we tell the truth. And we tell the story of Jesus about why he had to die and what it means that he rose again to new life, defeating death. We tell that story as clearly and simply as we can. And so I hope the same is also true in your life when you're not here at the church. I hope that you are a follower of Jesus and you share his love and message everywhere you go, not just when you come here, but even when you're with your neighbors or your family or friends who you know aren't believers. I hope that you continue to be the same person that you are when you walk into this building. Because you see, that's what it means to have integrity. That's what it means to be authentic in your faith, that you're the same person here as you are on Tuesday afternoon. You're the same person in the church as you are when you are talking to your neighbor over the backyard fence. That you are a follower of Jesus and you proclaim his truth and his message in the same way to everyone you know. So all of that brings us back to Jesus' parable. We've talked from the perspective of the farmer so far. The farmer scattering the seed being the message that we proclaim, the good news of God. But now we want to shift a little bit in our focus to think about the soil on which that seed falls. The people who hear the message of Jesus Christ. What happens with that seed? And so the truth for us here is that how people respond to Jesus' message reveals what is happening in their hearts, which again is the condition of that soil in the story that Jesus told. I want to tell you this. When I stand up here to preach on Sunday morning, my responsibility, as I understand it, is to clearly and accurately offer the truth of God's Word to you, whoever happens to be here. And I don't know who's going to be here on a Sunday morning. I know sometimes people, as I shake hands at the back door, will say, "Pastor, that message was just for me today. How did you know?" And I say, "Well, I didn't know. The Spirit may have known. I didn't know. I don't know who's going to be here on a Sunday morning. I don't know if there are going to be people here who have never been here before, or the same people who have been here for 70 years. Or I don't know. But the Spirit prepares me, but I preach from God's truth. And I try to speak it with passion and joy, and I try to speak it in a way that will enter into your heart and into your mind. But I can't control what you do with God's Word. You might hear it and respond faithfully. You might hear God's Word, and as you hear it, it might draw you closer to God, and you want to serve Him more, and you may be transformed in a wonderful way as you leave here today. I hope that happens. But on the other hand, you might hear God's Word and forget it by this afternoon. Or you might even reject it outright and say, that pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. Or you might walk away resentful that I wasted your time. Maybe you'll be somewhere in between those two extremes. But the point is, I can't control what happens as you encounter God's Word. That's something that happens between you and the Holy Spirit. And the same is true when you go out and witness to a friend, or when you show love to a neighbor, or when you tell someone why you go to church, or when you invite someone to church. You can't control how they're going to respond to that. You scatter the seed, but you can't make it grow, because you can't control what happens inside of someone else's heart, and you can't control what type of soil is there as the seed falls on it. Some people hunger for God's truth. Some people are eager to learn about Jesus, and they have hearts that are ready to soak up the good news, and they long to hear more and more about it, and we hope they show up week after week and grow in their faith. Other people have built walls of skepticism around their hearts. Maybe they have no interest in religion. I think there are a lot of people, particularly in our community, who've grown up in the church. They know all the stories. They know this parable just as well as you do, but they've just wandered away. The roots of that seed have never really gone down deeply into their hearts. Maybe even their mind is made up that they don't need Jesus, and they have no interest in coming back to a church. Other people are broken. They're hurting. They're lost. And they might jump immediately at the message of forgiveness and renewal that we offer them, that Jesus offers them. But they can't really keep many commitments in their lives, and so their hearts bounce around from place to place and idea to idea, and Jesus might be the next medicine that they try, but then there'll be another one that comes along tomorrow, and they'll try that one too. You see, the human heart is a deep and mysterious place, and we can't control how someone else responds to Jesus. But we keep scattering the seed. We keep speaking the truth. We keep loving people in Jesus' name. We keep seeking to fulfill the mission. We keep praying that some will have hearts with soft and fertile soil. We keep praying that some will be ready to hear about Jesus and believe. Let me invite you to bow your heads. Father, we thank you for your good news. We thank you for Jesus and the stories that he told and the life that he gave for us. Lord, remind us that you have called us to go and be that farmer who scatters the seed. Each of us individually, but Lord, also as a church, that we love people who come here. We reach out into our community. We proclaim your word on Sunday mornings and throughout the week and everywhere each one of us goes. Lord, teach us to carry that message of good news and the love of Jesus with us so that other people can see and hear and be touched by who you are. And Lord, we pray that many hearts would be soft and open and ready to receive your good news. We thank you for those that are, and pray that you would help us to be ready as a church to welcome in those that you send here, to love them and to help them just as we do, to grow in faith and to seek after you and to worship you and to love one another. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be a part of this mission. And I pray that you'd help us to do our part as we scatter the seed of your good news and your truth. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who told us this wonderful story.